Welcome to the Undefeated Podcast with Sara. Did you know that you don't need to live feeling defeated in any area of your life? I believe a huge part of us learning to live from the place of victory is learning to see from God's perspective and discern what's heaven's agenda in this particular season in your life and in the world around you. In this podcast, we will practice discerning what God is doing, both regarding our individual journeys and corporately, so that we can partner with Him in seeing His kingdom come and will be done right now on earth as it is in heaven, and live our lives undefeated. We be having our annual Open Heavens conference here at Bethel this week, which is always such a special time. And it's been so fun for me to get to lead the dance teams there and partner with the Holy Spirit in what He is releasing in the room corporately. And also at the same time, God's been doing so many things within our school of ministry. And just last night, we had a 3-hour long worship night with all of our 3 years together. And it was wild and it was so powerful. At one point, the worship leader actually invited me to come up and start leading the whole room in moving and dancing together in unison. And it was wild. I don't even know how many people there were. I think there's definitely over 1,000 students altogether. I don't even know, maybe 1,200, 1,300. I don't know. But there were a lot of people anyway. But seeing the corporate hunger for the Lord, and as we started worshiping as one, and even in the connection with our spirit, soul, and body coming into agreement to receive everything that the Lord has for us, I don't even know how to describe the feeling. It felt like these waves of the Holy Spirit were just crashing over us, and there was so much refreshing coming in, and literally feeling heavens are open. And obviously the heavens are always open, but it felt like God manifested His presence in such a special and unique, powerful way where everybody could actually feel it very tangibly. And also at the same time, this whole theme of open heavens has been reminding me of the fact that we actually have a choice, that we get to live in that direct connection under open heavens consistently all the time because of what Jesus has done and because of the cross, that we have full access to God no matter what, 24/7, that heavens are always open from God's side. And so if we are feeling disconnected, the problem is actually never at God's end. So the question that remains is is my heart open? Is your heart open? And I think often when there's unresolved pain in our hearts, we tend to close our hearts, and that's when we start to separate ourselves from God and from others, and we can start thinking that, well, God doesn't see me. And it's kind of like the whole story in Genesis with Adam and Eve in the garden, when they started, covering themselves with the fig leaves, and they were hiding in the garden like we could ever hide ourselves from God. And then when God is asking them that, where are you? It's obviously not because God doesn't see them or God doesn't know where they are. But it's like God is inviting them back into that place of connection with Him and giving them opportunity to find Him in the midst of what they are walking through. And it's like God is inviting them to open their hearts to Him. And I think sometimes we think that you know, I'd never be so silly like Adam and Eve, like, you know, try to hide from God. But in all reality, that's what we often do when we close our hearts, whether it's because of pain or offense or something, you know, unforgiveness or things that we have walked through or we are in the middle of walking through. And I just feel like God is highlighting this area because he's wanting to restore connection and he's wanting to highlight the fact that heavens are open, but he's wanting to see our hearts open to him. And I'm preaching this to myself as well because I actually just had a moment this past week, which is this is a little bit vulnerable to share, but it felt like such a teachable moment that that's why I decided to share this story with you guys. So what happened was that I started booking my flights to go to Finland to visit my family for Christmas. And it's been like a year since I've seen them last time. And you might remember the story how last year around this time I was booking my flights to go home as well. And that time it was like it had been like 3 years, so 3.5 years since I had been able to go home. And so I was so excited to get to go home. And then I had got an email that said that my flight had been canceled. And I had a complete meltdown. Like, it literally felt like a matter of life and death. Like, I have to go see my family. Like, it's not just that I want to, but I have to. And so I went through this whole crazy emotional process with that last year. But then God met me in the process. And then also I was able to get another flight to go home last Christmas after all. So, well, you'd think that I learned something from that experience. But I have to admit that I just had another meltdown this week with the very same thing. I had spent several hours looking for my flights, and it's actually a little bit complicated right now to travel. I mean, obviously, not just, you know, with all the COVID guidelines and all of that, but when I'm flying from California to Finland, I have to first like get an international flight, and there's no direct flight, so I have to, you know, book several flights, so then I need a separate domestic flight in Finland, and so it's quite an ordeal in itself, like to get the flight times to match each other and all of that. And so I finally had managed to find flights that were both affordable but also didn't have any crazy layovers and no layovers in other countries, because, you know, especially right now with all the different COVID guidelines in different countries, it makes travel complicated to have layovers in several different countries. But so when I finally managed to book the flights that seemed to be so perfect, it was like within 10 minutes after I had booked them, I got an email telling me that my flights were canceled again. So, and this time besides, you know, they had already charged me for the flights, so I basically lost the money but ended up with no flights, and then it took another several hours for me to try to get hold of the customer service person and getting, you know, reimbursed for the money for the flights that apparently didn't even exist. So yeah, so I do have to admit that I definitely had another meltdown. And after like processing my feelings, I realized that, you know, I wasn't crying because, you know, of the money that I lost, which I actually, you know, eventually ended up getting back, but it wasn't the money. And I wasn't crying because of the time that I had spent looking for those flights in the middle of a super busy week. And I wasn't even crying just because, you know, losing that flight that seemed so perfect. But I was crying because my heart was feeling triggered, and my heart was basically imagining and experiencing the feeling of disconnection, and, you know, the feeling of being alone for Christmas, and basically there was this underlying feeling of being abandoned and feeling abandoned, and ultimately the fear that, you know, God doesn't see me or he doesn't see my situation. Which, I mean, none of that is really rational thinking. And most of our fears are actually never rational. So it wouldn't help if somebody, you know, had just tried to tell me, like, you know, stop crying, you'll find another flight, or, you know, you can spend Christmas with some friends in California if you can't get flights to Finland. Because it wasn't a cry, and that type of cry that needed a rational solution. I actually just needed to be reminded that God sees me and that he cares, and that emotion needed to be met with an emotion of love and care. And yeah, and that incident actually, like, it highlighted an area in my own life where I realized that I needed more healing in order to trust God. And also, like, I had this realization that I can't grow in trusting God by trying harder, because it's not about trying and striving. But the more our hearts get healed, and, you know, there are often layers to things when we are being healed of traumatic experiences. So the more we get healed in our hearts, the more we actually automatically start trusting God. So this whole thing was not about, you know, canceled flights. It was really an invitation into a fresh encounter with God's heart and receiving healing into that place that still felt abandonment and rejection and disconnection. And actually then a couple of days later, I needed to take a little break from looking at the flights. But a few days later, I took some time to look at some flights, and I found new flights which were in some ways actually even better than the original flights that I lost. And with these flights, I get to stay in my hometown, Rovaniemi, even a bit longer. But also, like, it was so beautiful to see the journey of healing that happened in my heart with this. And a really awesome thing happened right after I had booked my flights. I got a voice message from a friend who told me that she had just had a dream about me the night before. And I'm not going to go into details to describe the whole dream, but the point was that God was showing her in the dream how he sees every part of my life and cares, like the exact theme that God had been teaching me this past couple of days. And also, this girl kept hearing God's name, El Roy, which means the God who sees me. And that was like the part of the dream that she really highlighted. And she was like, hey, I just really feel like God wants you to know that he sees you. Which for me, this was so wild. I actually cried again when I got the voice message and when she was describing this dream, because first of all, this friend of mine had absolutely no idea of what I was just going through. She didn't know I was booking flights and had lost the flights, and that this was the exact thing that I was processing and wrestling with the Lord. And also the funny part is that, you know, like I said, the name of my hometown where I grew up is Rovaniemi, and actually the nickname for my town is Roy, which is, or Roy, how we say in Finnish. And so we always used to joke about the God's name, the El Roy, or that's what in Finnish we would say, it El Roy. And so we used to joke about it, saying, like, you know, it's about our town, that, you know, the name of our town, actually, that it means that God sees us. So for me, it was quite comical that I had just booked my flights to Roy, or Roy, my hometown, when God was speaking to me about this whole theme of him being the God who sees me. And I'm not gonna go deep into this whole story, but El Roy is first mentioned in the Bible in Genesis 16, verse 13. By Hagar, who is the mother of Abraham's oldest son, Ishmael, which also happened during a very low point in her life. And it was also a low point in Abram and Sarai's life. So they were not called Abraham and Sarah yet, but the same people. But they had basically doubted God's promise to give them their own son. So Sarai had given her Egyptian slave to Abram to bring offspring for them, which obviously was a bad plan to begin with. And then Hagar got pregnant. And so after that, she started despising Sarai. And that's why Sarai got so angry with her and started mistreating her. So Hagar fled into the desert. And that's where an angel appeared to her and spoke to her, and which then eventually led into her returning back to Abram and Sarai. But it was so interesting that it was in the middle of this huge mess where God ended up revealing himself as God who sees. And this was in Genesis 16, verses 13 through 14. It says that she gave this name to the Lord who spoke to her. "You are the God who sees me." For she said, "I have now seen the one who sees me." That is why the well was called Beer Lahai Roi. It is still there between Kadesh and Bered. And actually, CSB translation says it, that so she named the Lord who spoke to her, "You are El Roi." For she said, In this place have I actually seen the one who sees me. That is why the well is called Beer Lahai Roi. It is between Kadesh and Bered. And I think this is so powerful. Like, it's the revelation of God's consistent gaze of love that changes us. And, you know, he obviously sees us all the time. But like Adam and Eve, we are the ones who often try to hide because of our shame. And when we choose to, it's our decision when we choose to open our hearts to him. So that's the place when it's the revelation of his loving gaze that changes us. And it starts changing also our perspective in how we see the world around us. And, you know, one of the basic human needs is actually to feel seen and known and really loved for who we are. And I think one of the most painful parts of the feeling of rejection is that our hearts don't feel seen. And even reflecting my own journey and the situations when I have felt rejected by people, it has been the sense that I thought that, you know, somebody saw me for who I really am, but then decided to walk away. And that's why, you know, the closer we allow people to come, the harder the rejection feels, because somehow we think that somebody actually saw who we really are, and then that's why the rejection of us so easily starts feeling like a value statement. Whether it's in, you know, personal relationships or in ministry connections or, you know, work relationships, and which is obviously not true. Like, it's never a statement of our value, but that's how it often starts feeling when we start imagining, like, oh, I thought you actually saw who I am, and after you saw who I am, you chose to walk away. And there's a famous quote, well, I don't know how famous, but I've heard this often said, I may have read this before too, but it goes that God says, "You weren't rejected. I hid your value from them because they were not assigned to your destiny." And also, like, I think that's true, but also I think that not everybody's actually meant to see your heart and see your value. However, God sees you and values you, and his value for you is consistent. And it's like in your best moments, in your worst moments, when you feel your value, when you feel worthless, his heart posture towards you never changes. And he's just, you know, he's longing to capture your gaze and pull you out of hiding where you have, like, you know, disconnected yourself. And especially in those moments when you feel like a failure, that he's wanting to pour out his love on you, because his love does not depend on our performance. And so, like I said earlier, heavens are open consistently all the time, and God's heart is open consistently all the time towards us. And so the question is not like, oh, are the heavens open or closed? The question is your heart open? And not just open to receive God's love, but open to start letting him to transform you and also help you see the world around you through his eyes. And become one who helps others to really see. And I was thinking there's a few scriptures about our, like, regarding our hearts being open to the Lord. I want to read from 2 Corinthians 3 verses 15 through 18. It says that, "So until now, whenever the Old Testament is being read, the same blinding comes over their hearts. But the moment one turns to the Lord with an open heart, the veil is lifted and they see. Now the Lord, I am referring to, is the Holy Spirit. And wherever he is Lord, there is freedom. We can all draw close to him with the veil removed from our faces. And with no veil, we all become like mirrors who brightly reflect the glory of the Lord Jesus. We are being transfigured into his very image as we move from one brighter level of glory to another. And this glorious transfiguration comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit." That was from the Passion Translation. Wow, I love that so much, huh? And it's like when we open our hearts to the Lord, we start being transformed, but we also start seeing as he sees and seeing from heaven's perspective. There's also, I'll read from Psalm 119, verse 130 from the Passion again. It says that, "Break open your word within me until revelation light shines out. Those with open hearts are given insights into your plans." So again, there's the same thing. Like, we actually get insight and wisdom and perspective from God when our hearts are open to him. And in Mark 4, verse 25, it says that, "For those who listen with open hearts will receive more revelation, but those who don't listen with open hearts will lose what little they think they have." And actually the same similar passage is in Luke 8, 18 that says that, "So pay careful attention to your hearts as you listen to my teaching, for to those who have open hearts, even more revelation will be given to them until it overflows. And for those who do not listen with open hearts, what little they imagine themselves to have will be taken away." And that's, you know, that's the whole significance of having an open heart to the Lord. I actually want to read the full passage where this Luke's, the verse that I just read, the context where it's out of. So I'll read from verse 4 onwards. So it says that, "Massive crowds gathered from many towns to hear Jesus, and he taught them using metaphors and parables such as this. A farmer went out to sow seeds for a harvest. As he scattered his seeds, some fell Some of them fell on the hard pathway and were quickly trampled down and unable to grow and became nothing but bird seed. Some fell on the gravel, and though they sprouted, they couldn't take root. It withered for lack of moisture. Other seeds fell where there was nothing but weeds. They too were unable to grow to full maturity, for the weeds choked them out. Yet some of the seeds fell into good fertile soil, and they grew and flourished until they produced more than a hundredfold harvest. Then Jesus added, shouting out to all who would hear, "Listen with your heart, and you will understand." Later, his disciples came to him privately to ask him what deeper meaning they could find in this parable. He said, "You have been given a teachable heart to perceive the secret hidden mysteries of God's kingdom realm. But to those without a listening heart, my words are merely stories. Even though they have eyes, they are blind to the true meaning of what I say. And even though they listen, they won't receive full revelation. Here then is the deeper meaning to my parable. The word of God is the seed that is sown into hearts. The heart pathway represents the hard hearts of those who hear the word of God, but the slanderer quickly snatches away what was sown in their hearts to keep them from believing and experiencing salvation. The seeds falling on gravel represents those who initially respond to the word with joy, but soon afterwards, when a season of difficulty or harassment of the enemy comes to them, they wither and fall away, for they have no root in the truth, and their faith is temporary. The seeds that fall into the weeds represents the hearts of those who hear the word of God, but their growth is quickly choked off by their own anxious cares, the riches of this world, and the fleeting pleasures of this life. This is why they never become mature and fruitful. The seed that fell into good soil, fertile soil, represents those lovers of truth who hear it deep within their hearts. They respond by clinging to the word, keeping it dear as they endure all things in faith. This is the seed that will one day bear much fruit in their lives. Wow. No one lights a lamp and then hides it, covering it over and putting it where no one sees its light. No, he places the lamp on a lampstand so others benefit from its brightness. Because this revelation lamp now shines within you, nothing will be hidden from you. It will all be revealed. Every secret of the kingdom will be unveiled and out in the open, made known by the revelation light. So pay careful attention to your hearts as you listen to my teaching. For to those who have open hearts, even more revelation will be given to them until it overflows. And for those who do not listen with open hearts, what little light they imagine themselves to have will be taken away." Wow, and that's obviously a very sobering passage, but so beautiful. And it's also very freeing that, you know, that our only responsibility is to take care of our hearts so that our hearts stay open to the Lord and that we can be that fertile ground. And he's the one who, you know, he causes the fruit to come out, and that our job is to guard our hearts and keep our hearts soft and tender and open. And like in Proverbs 4:23 says that above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. And even I love the Passion Translation says that one, that so above all, guard the affections of your heart, for they affect all that you are. Pay attention to the welfare of your innermost being, for from there flows the wellspring of life. Wow. And yeah, I feel like God is wanting to just really bring and release a grace over all of us to keep our hearts tender and keep our hearts open and let his gaze, his loving gaze into our hearts. I was thinking of this song by Stephanie Kretschinger that says that you have been and you will be, you have seen and you will see. You know, when I rise and when I fall, when I come or go, you see it all. You hung the stars and you moved the sea, and still you know me. And nothing is hidden from your sight. Wherever I go, you find me. You know every detail of my life. You are God and you don't miss a thing. And I mean, I love that song. It's obviously, it's based on Psalm 139. But just the idea there, like, you know, God sees every little part of your life, that he is Elroy. He watches over you. He watches over your coming and your going, and that it's actually like we are the ones who get to welcome and invite him into that place. And I want to read this psalm just to end this episode, the Psalm 139. It's so beautiful and powerful. And I want to read this actually also from the Passion Translation. It says that you are so intimately aware of me, Lord. You read my heart like an open book, and you know all the words I'm about to speak before I even start a sentence. You know every step I take before my journey even begins. Every single moment you are thinking of me. How precious and wonderful to consider that you cherish me constantly in your every thought. Oh God, your desires toward me are more than the grains of sand on every shore. When I awake each morning, you are still with me. Lord, you know everything there is to know about me. You perceive every movement of my heart and soul, and you understand my every thought before it even enters my mind. You've gone into my future to prepare the way, and in kindness you follow behind me to spare me from the harm of my past. You have laid your hand on me. This is just too wonderful, deep, and incomprehensible. Your understanding of me brings me wonder and strength. Where could I go from your spirit? Where could I run and hide from your face? If I go up to heaven, you are there. If I go down to the realm of the dead, you are there too. If I fly with wings into the shining dawn, you are there. If I fly into the radiant sunset, you are there waiting. Wherever I go, your hand will guide me. Your strength will empower me. It's impossible to disappear from you or to ask the darkness to hide me, for your presence is everywhere, bringing light into my night. There is no such thing as darkness with you. The night to you is as bright as the day. There's no difference between the two. You form my innermost being, shaping my delicate inside and my intricate outside, and wove them all together in my mother's womb. I thank you, God, for making me so mysteriously complex. Everything you do is marvelously breathtaking. It simply amazes me to think about it. How thoroughly you know me, Lord. You even formed every bone in my body when you created me in the secret place. Carefully, skillfully, you shaped me from nothing to something. You saw who you created me to be before I became me. Before I'd even seen the light of day, the number of days you planned for me were already recorded in your book. And I'll just read the end, that God, I invite your searching gaze into my heart. Examine me through and through. Find out everything that may be hidden within me. Put me to the test and sift through all my anxious cares. See if there is any path of pain I'm walking on, and lead me back to your glorious everlasting way, the path that brings me back to you. Wow. Yeah, Jesus, we say amen to that prayer. Yeah, we give you permission to search our hearts. And I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are the one who helps us to keep our hearts tender. Yeah, keep our hearts so soft before you. Yeah, and I thank you that you are El Roy who sees every part. But Lord, we choose to open our hearts to you. We choose to give you permission to look into our hearts and release and bring your healing into any path of pain that there is within. Yeah, Lord, we give you permission to come and heal and make whole. Yeah, thank you, God. Thank you that you see and you care. And I just speak that over anybody's life who feels right now that you are distant, Lord, that you are not far, that you are so close, Lord, and that you are so intimately aware of every detail in our lives. Yeah. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.